This year is brought to you by TorahWeb.org.
Thank you very much. In Shulchan Aruch, in Hilcha Shabbos, there is a discussion of how to what extent is one permitted to violate Shabbos if someone is sick. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes four different opinions, and then the Shulchan Aruch says we should paskan like the third opinion. Third opinion is the Shitas HaRamban, which is quoted in the Tur, but not quoted in its entirety. So it was a question how to understand the Ramban. So the Shulchan Aruch has, the Ramban says that there are the following four categories. The 24 prokim in Mishnah Shabbos, there's one whole perek that's dedicated to the dinim of refuah on Shabbos, namely, that if a person is basically healthy but he has a slight ache and pain, so you're not permitted to take any medication. It's a gzeirah midrabbanan. You may, by mistake, you may get so carried away that you don't feel well. So you may grind up some of the herbs in order to prepare the medication. And that's a violation of tochen. You're not allowed to grind things up. Even though today nobody grinds up any medication, it's done in the factory, and the factory is very far away. It's in China, Japan, wherever. And we don't grind anything up, so that's usually called the Dovash of Minyan, Tzoch Minyan Achala Tiro. Whenever the Chachamim prohibits something for a specific reason, even if you live in a generation where that reason doesn't apply, the Gzeira Derabbanan still applies. There was a prominent Talmid Chacham years ago, 100 years ago, who had a whole explanation why this particular Gzeira no longer applies, but that opinion has not been accepted. Rabbi Soloveitchik said about that view, there was a big Lubavitcher Rav in Eretz Avraham Chaim Noah. He's famous for his opinions about the Shiurim, how much is a Tefach and how much is a Revius and so on. And so he has a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So he writes that this Gzeira Barifuah doesn't apply anymore based on a Tosfos. Rav Soloveitchik said, Ala Rishonim Onim Mitztarim. We don't understand what Tosfos said, why Tosfos did away with a certain Gzeira Derabbanan. And we shouldn't extend it further. So we assume the first category is a person who's a bari, basically healthy. With a mechesh b'yamah, let's say a person has a slight headache, a slight ache and pain, doesn't prevent them from functioning normally, so he's not permitted to take any medication, even though he's not doing any melacha at all. Next category is a chayla she'ein bo sakana, a person who has a condition, he doesn't really have to be sick. Person has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. Let's say he has a splitting headache and he can't read, he can't study, or he has a stomach ache and he has to lay in bed. Muta labishka b'chayla kalgufo, he can't function. So the din is that that's a little more serious than the first case. So the Ramban's opinion is that we permit one to violate Gzeiras de Rabbanan, but not Malachas de Rabbanan. There are biblical prohibitions on Shabbos, that's a Malacham in HaTorah. Then there's a Malacham in the Rabbanan, and then there's a Gzeiras in the Rabbanan. Take, for example, we said before, you're not allowed to take medications on Shabbos, that you may grind it up, but I'm not grinding anything, I'm swallowing the medication. So that's a Gzeiras de Rabbanan, that's not a Malacham in the Rabbanan. A Malacham of the Rabbanan might be, let's say, if one should assume that Tochen only applies to Gidule Karka. So if you're going to do Tochen, if you're going to grind something up that's not Gidule Karka, that'll be a Malacham of the Rabbanan. He's doing Tchina, he's doing the Malacha, but there's some reason why Minatar, it doesn't constitute a Malacha. So with the Rabbanan, it is a Malacha. So that, for Chol Hashem B'Sakana, we wouldn't permit. This is the Ramban's opinion. We wouldn't permit Malacha de Rabbanon, that's Mohammed, but we would permit Gzeirim de Rabbanon. So take, for example, we said, Chol Hashem B'Sakana doesn't really have to be sick. Let's say there's a little baby who wants to have his bottle. And so the baby normally, what's considered playing, what's considered normal functioning for a baby? He plays with his toys, or he fights with his sisters, brothers and sisters, however the baby functions. When the baby is hungry, he wants to eat, so he's going to scream. He's going to be crying. So the baby can't function. No, the baby's not sick. He's hungry, that's all. But he doesn't know how to just explain that he's hungry. So he cries and he doesn't function normally. So the Gemara says, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Tzorchei HaTinok, if you have a little child, has the status of a chayla she'ein mesakana, because his condition of babyhood prevents him from functioning normally when he's hungry. So you're permitted to violate all kinds of gezeiros mid'rabbanan, but you can't violate a melacha rabban. So let's say, for example, to ask a nochri, to ask a non-Jew to warm up the bottle. Baby can't drink it when it's cold, you have to warm it up. So let's say there'll be bishul, the guy will have to turn on the fire, and then he'll have to warm up, so turning on the fire is one melacha, and then warming up the bottle is another melacha, you're cooking the milk. So Amir al-Nachri would be mutter, because Amir al-Nachri, I'm not doing a melacha. It's prohibited mid the Rabbanan if I'll allow asking a non-Jew to do the melacha. Next thing you know, I'll do the melacha myself. So that's a gzera mid the Rabbanan. So Amir al-Nachri would be mutter. The Gemara gives an example. Let's say a person is sick and the doctors say he needs to take a hot bath. So if you're going to turn on the water, it depends what the system is in your home. Sometimes turning on the hot water causes extra water to get cooked on Shabbos, so bishul on water, even though you're not drinking the water, bishul on the water is a malachan. So to ask a nochri to turn on the hot water to make a hot bath for the individual who needs, he has a cold, and the doctor say he needs a good hot bath, so that would be permissible, that'll help him get better. But then the question is, but the person himself is going to be bathing in the hot water. That's also a gzeira midrabbanan, mechitza bechamin. Even if you filled up the bathtub with hot water before Shabbos, you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even though you're not doing any melacha now. So the answer is, Rabbi Kiveger explains on the Shulchan Aruch, that's only a gzeira midrabbanan. You're not doing any melacha when you take a hot bath. It's a gzeira sabalonim. In the days of the Gemara, most people did not have a bath in their own, a shower, a bath in their own apartment. There was a public bathhouse. So the bathhouse attendants were not the most observant people. They weren't the most learned. They weren't the most observant people. So they used to turn on the fire on Shabbos to heat up. They didn't have everything prepared before Shabbos. They would turn on the fire on Shabbos and heat up the water and fool the public into believing that they had the fire on the whole time from before Lichbench and before Shabbos. And it wasn't true. So that's a gzeira midrabbanan, that you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even though you're not doing any malach at all. So that's only a gzeira. So if the person is a chol shem b'sakana, we permit him to bathe, and we permit the amir al-nochri. The nochri is going to do a malach ad-rabbaisa, malach ad-raisa, a biblical prohibition of heating up the water. Then we permit the patient, the person who needs the hot bath, to take the hot bath, because that's only a gzeira midrabbanan. We permit a chayla shem b'sakana to take medication, because taking medication, most of the poskim assume like that, taking medication is only a gzera midrabbanan, it's not a malacha midrabbanan. There was a prominent poisek, the Mishkan is Yankif, who learned in Valozhin, and people who follow the different yeshivas in America, most of the yeshivas in America follow all the traditions from Slobodka. Those are Baron Kotler, who founded Lakewood, and Rabbi Ruderman, who founded the Baltimore Yeshiva, and Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky, who taught in Torah Vedas for so many years. They all learned in Slobodka. So Slobodka, they had certain traditions. And Valozhin had very different traditions, what to learn, how to learn, everything was different. So a lot of people who learn in the style of Valozhin, they follow a lot the Mishkanos Yankiv. He was one of the first students who learned Rav Chaim Valozhin and Valozhin Yeshiva. Over here, the Mishkanos Yankiv has a chumrah. He seems to be quoting strong sources. He thinks that a chol shem b'sakana is not allowed to take medications, but that's not the generally accepted opinion. It's generally assumed, like the Mishnah Berurah says, Lohakil, that to take medication is only a gzeira midrabbanan. So if the person is a chol shem b'sakana, we would permit that. Or let's say you have a non-Jewish doctor came over and he has to write a prescription for the patient. He has to write a prescription, and then we're going to go to the drugstore. There's an Erev, and we're going to go to the drugstore and bring in the prescription, and we're going to give the medication to the patient. So let's say the non-Jewish doctor doesn't have a pen. So he tells me, can you please give me a pen? So I tell him, it's my Sabbath, I'm not allowed to handle a pen. So he says, go fly a kite. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to handle muktzah, because handling muktzah is only a gzeira midrabban. It's a gzeira that you may carry the muktzah out of the house. They didn't want to make you can carry anything out of the house, but if you're going to prohibit handling anything, life will be impossible. The rabbis only wanted to make life a little difficult. They didn't want to make it impossible. So they said, if something is junk anyway, and you don't use it anyway, it's muktzah, it's a piece of junk. So then we don't permit you to handle muktzah. So that's only a gzeira midrabbanan. So to handle the muktzah, to give the pen to the doctor that he should fill out the prescription to the non-Jewish doctor, that would be permissible. Or the Gemara has an example, let's say a person is not well and the doctor says he needs a lot of sleep, but he can't fall asleep. So the Gemara says you're permitted to play soft music that'll put him to sleep. Playing music on Shabbos is prohibited. It's a gzera, shema yisak and kleshir. He may hear that the piano is off key, and he may tune the piano, which is mesak and manam. But that's only a gzera. He's not doing any melacha, just playing the piano. So the Gemara gives that as an example. You're not permitted to play piano, but if a person needs sleep and playing the piano softly will help him fall asleep, so then that's considered a gzera. So all gzera is the Rabbanan amuta by cholo she'ein b'sakon. The next category the Ramban has, the Shulchan Aruch says we paskin like the Ramban. The next category the Ramban has is when there's a sakona saver. Let's say a finger was cut off, so if you go quickly to the hospital, they'll be able to sew it back on. If you're going to wait till after Havdalah, it'll be too late. The finger will be dead. So in order to preserve the use of five fingers on the hand, or they cut off an arm. People can live without an arm also, but if they can sew it back on Shabbos, so when there's sakonas aver, the generally accepted opinion is that doesn't have the din of pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is the fourth category. Whenever the person's life is in danger, then you're permitted and obligated to do whatever is necessary, even to violate malachas min haTorah, to do many malachas min haTorah. But it's usually assumed that sakonas aver, loss of a limb, is not enough to permit one to violate the dinim deraisa. There was such an opinion. The Meiri lived in southern France in Provence, in the Chachmei Provence, had often different readings in the Gemara, different texts from what we have. They had different traditions, very different, a lot of times very different. So the Meiri always, you can always rely on the Meiri to quote some kind of a shita that no one accepts. So the Meiri writes like that, that loss of a limb or loss of life is considered the pikuach nefesh. So one of the great geonim from before the war, he died 60 years ago, the Sri Yesh, Rabbi Weinberg. He was from Slobodka, and then he went to Hildesheim Seminary. He taught in the Hildesheim Seminary. So he wrote many tshuvas, and most of his tshuvas that he wrote before the war were all destroyed by the Nazis, and when they printed his collection of tshuvas, they gave it the name Sri Yesh. This remained from the Sreifa. The Nazis burnt everything, and these are some of the tshuvas that they saved, and has the tshuvas that he wrote after the war. He lived in Switzerland after the war. So Rabbi Weinberg raised the possibility that maybe we should change the psak hamakubal on this issue. He thinks that Meiri doesn't stand alone. He thinks there are another two Rishonim who seem to agree with the Meiri, that loss of a limb is also considered pikuach nefesh, and he could be mechal shabbos. Baron Soloveitchik, Zechon al-Bach, used to paskan like that, halacha l'maisa, because of this tshuva of this Sridiyesh. I don't think it was accepted, though. They quote Baron Soloveitchik with all due respect, they quote him. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. So we assume that for sakonas aver, you can violate anything that's derabbanan, even a malacha derabbanan. But to violate the rices, we assume it's only if there's a real sakonas nefashis. Sakonas nefashis doesn't mean the person is going to drop dead right now. On the spot, I met a person. Whose wife passed away. She was deathly sick, and then the question was whether she has to fast on Yom Kippur. So they asked the doctor if she will fast, will she die? The doctor said, "No, not going to die." So he says she. The doctor misunderstood the question. The doctor thought, "Is she going to drop dead on Yom Kippur because she's not going to die?" But he said his first wife, clearly died earlier than she would have because of the fact that it weakened her system. She was fasting on Yom Kippur. She was half dead anyway. So she died earlier than otherwise. That's also called pikuach nefesh. Not only pikuach nefesh is going to die on the spot, today on the spot. If the person is going to die earlier, it's also called a sofik, a sveka, pikuach nefesh is doicha everything. That's a lot of times people, doctors don't realize that. In the Shulchan Aruch, They quote this third opinion. The Shulchan Aruch quoted four opinions. Then they said, we pass like the third opinion, that's the Ramban. But they didn't have access to the Ramban Svarim. In recent years, before I was born, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, who was happened to be the father-in-law of Rabbi Aaron Kotler, so Rabbi Zalman Meltzer reprinted the Ramban. It was out of print for many generations. So now we have the Ramban. We see what the Ramban says. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have the Ramban. So they were guessing based on what the Torah quoted from the Ramban. So the Magen Avraham, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, they didn't have access when the Mishnah Berurah was printed. Before Rabbi Zalman reprinted the Ramban, they didn't have access to the Ramban. So they misunderstood whatever, either understood or misunderstood what the Ramban said. So they thought the Ramban says that to do a malacha de Rabbanan al yidei shinoi is a double de Rabbanan. That's called the shvus de shvus. If it's only malacha de Rabbanan in the first place, and then you're going to do it al yidei shinoi kalach hayad, so then it's mutter. That's called the shvus b'makam mitzvah is mutter, or b'makam tzorach gadol, or b'makam hefsid murub, or b'makam chalushem b'sakana. That's called the shvus. So there was some Galatian Achrainim who thought that it's only considered this kul of shvus the shvus b'makam mitzvah b'makam chayla b'makam hefsid merubah is only if one of them is amira lenachri, if I ask a non-Jew to do a din de rabbanon, that's a shvus the shvus. But if the Jew is doing a double de rabbanon, it's only a malacha de rabbanon to begin with, and he's doing a kalach hayad. So there were Galatian Achrainim who thought that doesn't qualify as a shvus de shvus. You have to have one of the two shvusim should be amira lenochri. So this is not accepted. This suggestion that the Galatian Achrayim had is not accepted. Chacham Avadya points out that the Rishonim say beferish. The Yeshiva is learning ksubis this year. So the Tosfos in ksubis and the first parak has cases in the Gemara like that. Tosfos interprets the Gemara. Shvus de shvus doesn't have to be amira lenochri on the rabbanon, even if the Jew is doing everything. But it's a double the Rabbanan. So that's how the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah understood what the Ramban, that's the way, they didn't have the Ramban. That's why they understood the Ramban. That if you have a double the Rabbanan, a malocha the Rabbanan, that you do kalach hayad, al yidei shinoi, so that would be muta b'makam mitzvah, so it's muta b'makam chol l'shem misakona. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. They quote from the first one, the author of the Tanya, the Baal HaTanya, that he said, if he goes to Gan Eden, it'll be for three things that he did. He didn't say writing the Tanya. He said writing the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a sefer, like the Chayyodim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes him on every other page. So the Baal HaTanya and his Shulchan Aruch understood the Ramban correctly. He says, even a malacha deraisa, if you do it al yidei shinoi, it's not called a malacha, because a malacha has to be malachas machsheva. It's done in a normal fashion. Whenever you do al yidei shinoi, so it's lower to the level of Gzeira. It's not even a malacha mid Rabbanim. So that's what it seems to say explicitly in the Ramban. I find it very surprising that the author of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he did such a marvelous job at writing. He was rewarded. He was given many awards for the fantastic sefer that he wrote. He had a whole bunch of people helping him, but he put out a fantastic sefer. Why he doesn't even quote this opinion? We should have passed like that opinion, but at least to quote the opinion and the footnote never quotes it, not to be understood. The Baal HaTanya quotes it. The Baal HaTanya says like that, and that's what it says in the Ramban. So there's room to be makel, and that when you have a choyla she'ein bo sakone, even to do a malocha deraisai de shinui, kedai hu lismachol, the Baal HaTanya points out, and that's what it says in the Ramban. That even to do a malacha deraisa, deshina would be mutter. So these are the four categories that you have to judge based on this. First category is the healthy person has a mechaj b'alma, slight ache and pain, that we don't allow any medications, we don't allow anything. The second category is a chol l'shem sakana, a person has not a mild headache, has a splitting headache that prevents them from functioning normally. And he doesn't have to be sick. Let's say it's a baby, the baby's crying. Or let's say a person bought the home near the shul, so for many years he walked the shul, and now he can't walk the shul on Shabbos. It's too far to walk the shul, so we would permit. It's not because the makam mitzvah he wants to daven in shul. We don't permit amira lenochri b'makam mitzvah. But he can't function normally. He likes to shmoo. He likes to go to shul on Shabbos, to meet all of his friends, to go to the Kiddush club, to walk out when the rabbi holds the sermon. He does, not talking about Mokka mitzvah, no mitzvah, Avera. But on Shabbos, he meets all of his friends, and he goes to shul, and he can't go to shul. So we would allow him to have a nachri drive him to shul on Shabbos. That's called he's not a choyler, he's not sick, but he's a person who can't function normally. So that's a din, one who can't function normally. In order to be able to function normally, we permit amira le-nachri and so on. These are the four categories. The choyler shem sakana, the sakana is aver, that we even allow melachas the rabbanon. And then there's a real sakanas nefashis, even if it's not sakanas hayom, even if it's not going to die today. There's a person, we discover the person has cancer, and he needs surgery, but the surgery doesn't have to be done today. You can do the surgery in the next month or two. So then you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. It has to be urgent today. Then we allow even malachas deraisa. People who have diabetes have to keep on checking their blood, whether they have too much sugar in the blood. So they always have to prick. So taking out blood is considered a real malacha. If you're going to just squeeze out the blood and throw it out in the garbage, that's called a malacha shein svicha legufa. That would be only midirabbanan. But they have to take the blood and test it to see how much sugar they have there. And that's a possible cholesh yesh b'sakana. They have to test it every couple of hours, I understand. So that's a malacha there, I said, but you have to do it. So if you can do it, instead of pushing a button that's going to take out the blood and test it with the tip of your fingers, you should do it with your knuckle. That's an unusual way. So whenever there's a heter, pikuach nefesh, you're permitted to violate the chilul Shabbos deraisa, but you can lower the level of the issa easily. So then you shouldn't do it. You should try to be memayit and the issa. So you should try to do ayidei shinui. Apparently there's something new now. I wasn't familiar with it. Something, people wear a ring or they wear a band around their arm. And if you wear it straight for a couple of weeks at a time, so it can check your blood pressure and your body temperature and your heartbeat and so on, and record all of this. So the years ago, before they had tape recordings, so they used to have records, so people could talk and make a record. So the record has marks on it anyway. So if I talk, if I play the record later on, it's going to give me a song and a dance. Before I said anything, if you play the record, it doesn't say anything. So the Gedolim wrote at that time that to make a record on Shabbos or to make a tape of a nigun or to make a tape of a talk on Shabbos is a malacha. What's the malacha? So some said that it's kosev midirabbanan. They didn't think that it's kosev minator because it's not visible. It's recorded somewhere. It's recorded, but you don't see it. So some thought that it's kosev midirabbanan. That's what they wrote in middle of the 1800s to make a record on Shabbos. Abshleim Zalman Auerbach Fed thought that it's worse than kosev midirabbanan. He thought that it's mesaken mana. You have a tape that doesn't give you anything. Then you play after you make a tape. Then it gives you back. You put it on. It gives you a song and a dance. Gives you a whole spiel. So that's he thought that that's mesaken mana minatora. But whatever it is, it's either a malacha minatora or a malacha midirabbanan. So to wear this ring or the bands that are going to record everything and to alert you in case there's something wrong with they say that some people's lives were saved when they realized they there was something bothering them. They didn't know what. They didn't even feel anything. But they had this the ring and this thing. So they realized that there's something wrong. They went to the doctor. They found that they had cancer and it saved their life. Okay, so they did surgery, they saved their life. So it's a good idea to have such a thing, but to use it on Shabbos is really not proper. If you use it 6 days in a row, it's not going to give you the full information. But if you're going to use it for 3-4 weeks, and every week you're going to leave out Shabbos, so it's going to give you all the information that you need. You'll catch up, whatever you missed the first and the second Shabbos, will catch up with the next 6 days. That's what they say. So you're not really missing out anything. To wear such a thing on Shabbos, if there weren't an issue, if there weren't an issue of recording, which is assumed to be either Malach of Kosev Midrabanan or Mesakan Manam in HaTorah Midrabanan, the question is, what about wearing it on Shabbos? If you're in the house, or if you're in an Erev, so you have no problem. What if you don't have an Erev? So is that a violation of Hoytzor? So people wear glasses, people wear hearing aids. I remember when I was in when I was a student in yeshiva, so I had a roommate in the dormitory who later on he got smicha from the yeshiva, then he went on to learn at Lakewood. When he went to Lakewood, somehow he lost a lot of his hearing, and on Shabbos he was machmir not to use the hearing aids, a shayla of hoytzor, not to use the hearing aids. So he was once at the end of his life. He was walking in the middle of the street in Lakewood, and there was a car behind him kept on tooting his horn. He didn't hear that it was tooting his horn. So the driver of the car thought that he's a wise guy, a kibbutz, and he's going to get out of the way. He didn't get out of the way because he didn't hear that it was blasting his horn away. So he ran him over on Shabbos. He was killed on Shabbos by mistake. So it's not a smart idea. Those who need hearing aids, not a smart idea to go without the hearing aids. I wouldn't recommend it. So we assume that wearing glasses, if the glasses are on the body or hearing aids, or this thing, if this wouldn't have been a problem of malacha, that it's recording the heat and everything, the heartbeat and everything, if not for the fact that it's a shayla of a malacha, I don't think it would be an isur of haitzor. We assume whatever is mechuba lebeged is dina kebeged. Let's say on Shabbos you don't carry anything in your pockets. So let's say I walk on Shabbos with a jacket, but it has pockets that I don't use. So the pockets should be an isur haitzor. So the answer is whatever is mechuba lebeged darka bekach is not an isur haitzor. Let's say you have an arba kamfis. You're wearing an arba kamfis and you have tzitzis. So the tzitzis is mechuba lebeged darka bekach. That's the normal way. That's the way you walk all week long. So the tzitzis is not an isur haitzor. If you have pasala tzitzis in a corner and you're going to take it out after Shabbos and you're going to replace it, then the pasala tzitzis mechuba lebeged not darka bekach. Normal is to have kosher tzitzis, not to have pasala tzitzis. So a pasala tzitzis is not darka bekach. The Gemara says that's an isur haitzor on the strings. But in the Mishnah Brura it says, a lot of people, when they were 3 years old, so the parents bought an arba kamfis for them, a baby-sized arba kamfis, and now they're 85 years old, they still walk around with the baby arba kamfis. So the Mishnah Brura writes, that's an Isur Haitzor on Shabbos, and why is an Isur Haitzor? Because it's not kosher at tzitzis. But that's the way he walks all week long. He walks all week long with the same arba kamfis, the baby-sized arba kamfis. So the Netziv has a collection of tshuvas. So the first tshuva is to the author of the Mishnah Brura. He takes issue with him. He says, I agree that if you have a baby-sized arba kamfis and you say a bracha every day when you put on the arba kamfis, that'll be a bracha lebatala. It's not the right size. It's like a tie. You don't put tzitzis on a tie. It has to cover a significant part of the body. But to say that it's an isur haitzor on the strings, but that's the way he walks all week long. He walks with such a silly size arba kamfis. He said, that's not called haitzor. That's b'chuba lebeged darka bekach. It's not an isur haitzor. But Moshe used to be makbid that, let's say you wear a watch. He was makbid, the watch should be on your arm. A lot of people in the summertime, because they perspire, so they put the watch on top of their shirt sleeve, so it won't get the moisture from the perspiration, won't get into the watch and it won't ruin it. The Moshe thought that that's not proper. Mechuba lebeged dina kebeged if it's darka bekach. Mechuba leguf is dina keguf if it's darka lekach. But if it's on top of your sleeve, it's not mechuba to the arm. So he thought that that's not proper. Sleep apnea is a problem. They say that this can sometimes be fatal. People can't breathe in the middle of the night. They can die from that. So they should make sure that if the doctor says that it may be a sfek sfek of a sfek sakana, they have to make sure they have this thing. If they only need it when they go to sleep and they're awake, that they don't need it. So then if they can, They can guess what time they usually go to sleep. So if you can put it on the Shabbos clock and have it, I don't know, I'm not familiar. If you can put it on the Shabbos clock and it's going to go on by itself. So then putting it on your body, that's not an additional malacha. Let's say you have hearing aids. So there's no issa malacha to walk with the hearing aids in the street. There's mechub b'laguf and darka b'kach like glasses. The Chayyadim talks about wearing glasses. He's only afraid because the glasses don't hold on so well in the days of the Chayyadim. He lived in the early 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s. So he was concerned that the glasses may fall and the purse may carry a dalar amas and the rishus harab. The way the glasses are made today, they rarely fall. They don't fall off. If they're falling off, you got to get a different frame. Go to the store, buy different frames. I shouldn't fall off. So let's say a person has a hearing aid. So if the batteries have to be, or whatever it is inside, has to be charged, so to charge a battery on Shabbos is a real malacha deraisa. That's mesaken mana. It's dead. If you have a battery that's dead, so it's not going to function. And if you charge the battery, it is going to function. So that's a malacha. Or to put the battery in or to recharge the battery, that's a real malacha. You're not allowed to do that. If a person, let's say, they put the hearing aids on this little mechanism that's plugged into the wall and it recharges the battery. So if he didn't take it off on Erev Shabbos, he's going to take it off when he wakes up on Shabbos morning, put it on his body, so then the light is going to go off. It usually has a green light when it's finished charging, and then you take it off, so the light goes off. So that's an Issa Mechabe, making the light go out, but that's not a Mechabe Daraisa. So if the person forgot to take it off on Erev Shabbos, and he has to take it off on Shabbos, he should take it off Al-Yidei Shinoi, take it off with your teeth. Pick it up, instead of picking up with your fingers, do it Al-Yidei Shinoi. And it's only a double the Rabbanon. You normally don't take it off with your mouth. You lean over, take it off with your mouth, Al-Yidei Shinoi. And the whole Mechabe is only the Rabbanon. Mechabe is only a Melocha Deraisa if you tzorech lepechem, if you're going to use the charcoal, if you're going to use the ashes later on. But if you put out a fire and you're not going to use any of the ashes, then it's only a Mechabe Midrabbanon. So if it's only Midrabbanon to begin with, and you do Ayidei Shinoi, then it would be Mutter. You shouldn't do it every week. You shouldn't do it every week. Shvus de Shvus, V'makam Tzerach Gadol is an emergency hetter. So you shouldn't plan every week to do like that. Leave on the hearing aids on the machine and then take them off on Shabbos morning, Ayidei Shinoi. That's not right. That's an emergency hetter. He's not supposed to do it all the time. There was a big question regarding Mikra Megillah. When the Balkari reads the Megillah, everyone is Yotze based on Shemea Kohenah. When the Balkari learns the Kriyas HaTorah, it's not based on Shemea Kohenah. It's not that it's considered as if when one person says Kiddush, so everybody's Yotze based on Shemea Kohenah. So you have to be Shemea. When they read the Megillah, it's based on Shemea Kohenah. When the Balkari learns the Parshas HaShavua, that's not based on Shemea Kohenah. Everybody's learning together. Whoever pays attention to the Kriyas HaTorah is Yotze. Whoever doesn't pay attention is not Yotze. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to tell over this story that the Shamas in the Shul, I don't know, he didn't tell us whether this happened in Europe or in America. He said his father was the rabbi in the Shul in a community. So the Shamas in the Shul wanted an increase in salary for being the Balkari. So the members of the board discussed it and they voted it down. So the Shamas found out who was the member of the board who was instrumental in voting it down. So he was very nice about it. So he said on Shabbos morning, he's not angry that they didn't give him an increase in salary, but he wants everybody to know he has in mind when he's laning to be mitzi everybody except Mr. So-and-so, who was the one who was instrumental in seeing to it that he doesn't get an increase. So that he was a religious balabos, so he asked Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, Rabbi Soloveitchik's father, does he have to go daven in another shul in order to be yotze kriyas HaTorah? So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik said no, that in order to be mitzi then with Kiyas Shofar, in order to be mitzi then with Mikra Megillah, Parsha Zohar, that's based on Shemei Kohenah. He only says Shemei Kohenah if the Balkari or the Baltakeh has in mind to be mitzi you. If he has in mind not to be mitzi, he doesn't like you, then you're not Yotze. But he said over here, it's not based on Shemei Kohenah. Whoever pays attention is Yotze. So Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a mashal. So he said, the boy who sat right in front of him didn't understand the Shia. But Rav Soloveitchik liked him because when his father passed away and the yeshiva invited him to give the shir, the boy's father was one of the first students that he had. So he always liked that boy. But he knew the boy didn't understand the shir. Then in the back of the room, there was a fellow who was a Talmid Chacham, Shmuel Boylan. He's one of the deans in Touro now. So he always followed the shir. He understood the shir very well. But he used to needle Rabbi Soloveitchik. He used to always ask him kashas and stump him in the middle of the shir. He would ask him, the Tosfei HaRosh said not so, and the Meiri says not so. Rabbi Soloveitchik would always scream at him, "Will you stop bothering me with your Tosfei HaRosh?" So he said, "I give a shir. I like the boy in front of me, but he doesn't know one word that I'm talking about. The guy in the back, I can't stand. So I have a mind not to be mitzi him." So who's Yotze? The one who follows the shir is Yotze. The one that doesn't follow the shir doesn't help. Doesn't help that I like him, because I like his father, and I want him to be Yotze. He doesn't follow, he doesn't follow. So he said, that's what his father said by Kriya Sater. So, Or Chazaras HaShatz also, when the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei, he said, the people daven tefillah b'lachash, they don't need to be Yotze with the Chazan, which Shemei Kaina is considered as if they're saying. It's not based on Shemei Kaina. All the people in the shul have to participate in the Chazaras HaShatz. Even though you daven tefillah b'lachash, that's tefillah HaYochid, and now the Chazan offers tefillah HaTzibur on behalf of the whole Tzibur. It's not based on Shemei Kaina. So if you listen using hearing aid, listen to the Kriyas HaTorah, you listen to the Chazaras HaShatz, that's not really a problem. But to the Mikra Megillah and the Parsha Zohar, or to Kiddush and Havdalah, that's based on Shemei Kaina, so that's a big question. So Rav Soloveitchik and the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein, they all had a suffix if you hear on a loudspeaker, if you yotze, because the sound waves are converted into electrical waves and then it's converted back into sound waves. So you're not really hearing the original sound waves. So the Amasupik, why is it that if you hear the echo of the Tkiyah Shofar, you're not yotze? The mission says if you hear a kol havara, not yotze. Is it because it's foggy? But over here it's not foggy, it's very clear if you hear on a loudspeaker. Or is it because it's not the original sound? So there are misupik, sir. Moshe Feinstein said, Mikra Megillah is only the Rabbanon, so Sveika the Rabbanon Lekula, there's room to be Mekel. He didn't, L'chatchila, he thought that you should not have Mikra Megillah over a loudspeaker, but if you have no choice, you shouldn't make a machloikas about it because it's a suffix. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thought that it wasn't right. He thought it's not Shemaya, how can it be? So Shlomo Zalman felt that with respect to Mikra Megillah and Parsha Zoch, which is based on Shemei Kaina, you should really take off your hearing aids and come stay closer to the Balkari to be able to hear right away. I remember years ago, the Rabbeim and the Yeshiva were discussing having baby monitors. The baby's in the other end of the house and the parents are over here. If the baby's going to cry, so they won't hear it. So you're causing the baby to do an issa, whatever the issa is, some kind of an issa, the rabbanon. The baby is crying, so you can hear him on the loudspeaker. It's like talking on a loudspeaker. So you set up a situation where you're causing a baby to be mechal Shabbos on a level of the rabbanon. So I remember we had a consensus at that time, many years ago, we discussed it. So we thought that it should only be permissible if there's some problem, if there's some health problem, and we're afraid the baby may be crying for a long time, he won't hear. But Stam, that the healthy baby, no problem, you really shouldn't use a baby monitor.
Rabbi, can I go back to hearing aids for a minute? Hearing aids, charging hearing aids on Shabbos and Yontif.
Right, so
if it's a 2-day or 3-day Yontif, people are going to need, they have no option. What would be the best way? Today, people use batteries, but a lot of the newer ones, you charge the device itself.
They charge what?
The device itself is chargeable.
The batteries are built in, you can't take them.
Well, self-recharging?
Yeah.
So you're not doing anything?
No, you have to plug it into something.
Oh.
So based on what Rebbe's saying, is it better if it dies and then you charge it, maybe that's Misaki Mana?
Yeah.
Is it better to charge it if you... You're going to lose a day and a half the other. You won't be able to hear.
Yeah.
Is it better to charge it when it's not fully dead? This way it's not misaki mana?
I don't think so. You got to get another thing and leave it on. You have to have another pair of hearing aids and leave it on the machine and take it off on the second day Yontif or the third day when you have 3 days in a row. I don't think it's right to recharge it on Yontif. I don't think so. We should all be healthy for many years to come, and we should be careful about these four categories of dinim. We shouldn't get so excited every time the doctors come up with a new einfall. We should consult the rabbanim to find out, are there any halachic problems? I apologize, I too have to give a shiur today. So I wish you a good tevach.